Ready to begin. Okay. Sichus Haran Os Samach Beis. 62. Da, you should know. We have a tradition that whenever Rabbi Nachman begins a piece where he's quoted as using the word da, when Rabbi Nachman says you should know, it means that it's coming from the highest of places. It's coming from the world of Atzilus. It's coming from the highest realms of the heaven. Da, you should know, sheyesh bivnei adam sugulos gedolos. You should know that people have unbelievable powers. Ki yecholin lif'ol al yedei machshavtam ma shehim choshvim. We can actually achieve with our mind that which we are thinking. If we think deeply enough about something, we can actually do things with our thoughts. What would be an example of that? He starts with an interesting example. Va'afilu hayakros chas v'shalom hu ba mimachshavos b'nei adam. Even yakris, even inflation, when the markets become inflated, it comes about because of people's thoughts. Now, there's obviously a more natural way to learn such an idea. Rabbi Nachman's learning it in a more supernatural, in a more metaphysical way. Right? The natural way is that if everyone gets nervous that the market's going to collapse, so people start selling their stocks, and it shifts the markets. If people become panicked about something, so that panic, that fear, will shape, in quotes, reality. Because people will respond to it. Rabbi Nachman's saying much deeper than that. Rabbi Nachman's saying if we understood the power of concentration, if we could direct our thoughts in a really strong and intense and clear way, we could actually do things with our mind. Now you might think that sounds nuts. That sounds like science fiction. It's only because Rabbi Nachman says it's because, and the science tells us, we use a very tiny percent of our brain power. But if we understood the segulos gedolos, and we'll talk about it, hope you'll be more convinced of it by the end, the segulos gedolos, the awesome powers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, we would realize that our thoughts actually can shape reality. Ki kesha machshava hi kula achuza udvuka bedavar echad shiakein, because when one focuses their mind in such a way that they grasp an idea, that they hold on to an idea, and they attach themselves fully to that idea, then that can become a reality. Dahainu kol habechinos sheyesh b'machshava. If I'm able to fill my mind completely with this idea, dahainu pnimius v'chitzonius, to fill the inner recesses of my mind and the outer domains of my mind. If I could fill my mind completely with an idea, then that would become my reality. Ushar habechinos kulam ad hanakuda, that it takes over my entire being down to the innermost point. Ukishakulam ke'echar achuzim udvukim v'choshim shi'akein b'li bilbul unetiyah l'machshava acheres. If I attach myself to that idea wholeheartedly, without any distraction, without any bilbulim, without any netiyah, without inclining myself to any other idea, if I could attach myself 100% to a thought, to an idea, al yedei ze heim pawalim, that thought will become the reality. It's poel, it makes it happen. It forces it to happen in accordance with what a person is thinking. So Rabbi Nachman says you need to understand, again, we have awesome powers in our mind, our thoughts matter, and our thoughts shape reality. But again, you'll say, I've never seen this, I don't think I can do this. Rabbi Nachman says, well, you got to go all in if you want it to work. If you want your mind to be able to do things, then you have to actually be fully connected to the idea. Now, we're starting in a very lofty way. We're going to make it into a very practical teaching in a few moments. By the time we get to the third paragraph, you'll see how it's very practical. But continues Rabbi Nachman in the next paragraph. V'gam shamachshava tiyeh beprate pratios, alo b'derech klal. In order for this to work, in order for my mind to impact and to actually shape and affect reality, my mind has to be attached to the idea down to its finest details, to the prate pratios, to the smallest details. Lo b'derech klal, not just in general, not some type of general thought, a fleeting thought, but to be able to fully attach myself to an idea down to the finest details. Lo b'derech klal kigon sheyachshov she'im yihi yakein yakach v'kach bepratios. Not to think that, well, you know, if it was like this, then here could be the details. That's not working through it in a fine enough way. If I want to really make it reality, I have to work through every detail in a lecharchila way. Now, well, if this came about, here's one possible path that could make this happen. Again, we can understand it more naturally. I'm starting a company, right? So I could say, well, I have this general idea for a company. Now, here are some of the details that go into it. It's not going to work. I need to think it through down to the last detail. Rabbi Nachman says the same thing is true, again, on a metaphysical level. If I want to be able to impact the world with my thoughts alone, right? And again, it's so relevant to what we were learning in the sugi yesterday. Think about what we were learning about. Bittul chametz. How do you do bittul chametz? Is bittul chametz something that takes place in your mind? What did the Ran say? Why do I need a bedika? The Ran said, technically, on a biblical level, on a da'araisa level, bittul chametz should be able to take place in your head. But what was the Ran's language? We're concerned that what? That he's not going to put his whole heart into it. He's not going to be fully present. And that's going to stop the bittul from working 100%. So he needs a bedika as a safety measure to help out his bittul. Right? But again, you see on a Torah level, the power of one's thoughts. Remember the Rambam that Evan read us 2 days ago? The Rambam in Hilchos Trumos. A person can be mafresh truma in their head. Right? You're transferring holiness. Now you might say, well, that's all in the metaphysical realm. Rabbi Nachman's talking about my thoughts impacting physical reality. Can I pick something up on the other side of the room by thinking about it? If I stare at that ball on the other side of the room, if I stare at it and if I keep trying to attach my mind to lifting it, will I actually be able to lift it? Is such a thing possible? Rabbi Nachman says, absolutely yes. But it's only if I think about it down to the finest detail. However, when a person is choshev b'derech klal, but when I think in a more general way, hu bechinas golmei kelim, it's like we find in the Mishnayos and Kelim, Mesechas Chulin, it becomes just a shell. It's an incomplete kli. It's an incomplete, unfashioned kli. It has a sort of the shape, but it's not going to hold whatever it is that it's meant to hold. And therefore, it could actually lead a person astray. We can misunderstand our thoughts if we don't have a full grasp on our thoughts. He gives us an example, v'yachol litos k'mo sheta'a nevat. Shira Eish Yotze Vachulu. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that Nevat, the father of Yeravam ben Nevat, who is Yeravam ben Nevat, one of the most wicked kings of all, he was Chote Umachti, a sinner who brought others to sin. His father Nevat saw some type of vision of a fire coming out of his bris mila. And he saw that as a sign of power, a dominance. He saw it as a sign that he's going to be a king. He failed to realize that his son would be a king, and in fact, his son would be a very wicked king. So he misunderstood, right? He had a part of an idea, but he didn't fully attach himself to the idea, and he misinterpreted the idea. So Rabbi Nachman says, we have to realize how powerful our thoughts are, how careful we have to use our mind, how careful we have to use our thoughts, how powerful the impact can be upon the real world when I'm able to concentrate on something down to its finest detail. It shapes reality. Now again, this seems like, science fiction, this seems like movies, this seems like something that is really not so relevant to us. But let me show you how it's extremely relevant to us. And here's Rabbi Nachman's third paragraph. This is where it becomes extremely relevant, and again, I use Rabbi Nachman, I hide behind Rabbi Nachman to try to motivate you to be more engaged in your learning. Says Rabbi Nachman, Ashi, this goes back to our conversation in the Shwarma store, this paragraph, you'll see why. V'gam le'inyan ha'limud ma'al zeh. What we're learning here about the power of concentration, how human thought has this tremendous potential, that if a person focuses his thoughts, he makes that his reality. Rabbi Nachman says, let me show you how this plays out in terms of one's avodas Hashem, particularly one's learning. By a show of hands, how many people here think that one day they'll finish Shas? So now you're nervous. You're saying, well, if I don't raise my hand, then maybe I'm saying I'm not so serious. If I raise my hand, my friends might think I'm a Baal Gaiva. You think you're going to finish Shas? You're a big shot. Every one of you should be raising your hands right now. Now, some of you may have made a siyam on a besechta before. Some of you say, Rabbi, we're 3 days into Pesachim and I'm already feeling lost. So it's not realistic. So, Chevra, let me tell you something. Rabbi Nachman says, the first step to achieving anything in your learning, in any area of your avodas Hashem, is deciding in your mind that I want it. In other words, Rabbi Nachman is now going to connect this piece, which he so far is describing the power of intense concentration. he's now going to connect it to another concept, which is what? Which is deep desire. Okay, I would call the title of this year Intense Concentration and Deep Desire. Why? Because they're one and the same. If I want to be able to achieve something, I have to be able to be focused on it, and I have to really want it. If I'm going to be wishy-washy in my concentration, I'm not really going to pay close attention to it, I'm not going to be able to grasp it. If I space out when we're learning the Ran, I'm not going to understand the Ran. It's as simple as that. And if I don't want to understand the Ran's opinion, if I say, Rabbeinu Nissim, you lived a long time, hundreds of years ago, how do you affect my life today? Shulchan Aruch, tell me what I have to do. B'dikas Chometz, I know what to do. I follow the Arutz Shul Siddur, I got it. I don't need to understand the mechanics of it. Then you're making a decision that you don't want to understand God's mind. And that's a bad choice for a Jew to make. Says Rabbi Nachman, when it comes to our learning, le'inyan ha'limud mo'el zeh, deep concentration and strong desire is a critical component to success in being a growing and dedicated learning Jew. Im tiyah machshavto tekifa ma'od, if my machshava, if my thoughts, if my mind is what? Is strong. Bevada yekein. However, the first step to finishing Shas is deciding I actually want to finish Shas. I promise you, you'll never finish it if you don't want to do it. If it's not important to you, if it's not even on your radar, if you're not lined up with it, you'll never get there. The first step is to decide in your mind, I have a strong desire to get there. Or whatever it is. If it's not Shas, if it's saying, I want to understand the first Mishnah in Psachim. If I can't lock into that, 100%, 100%. The Hainu Lamashal. Rabbi Nachman gives an example. Now, for those of you who think Rabbi Nachman, you know, he's a Rebbe, Chasidus, right? Rabbi Nachman was very, very diligent in the study of Nigla, Gemara, of Halacha in particular. Look what he writes here. Look at his example. You're going to use the Hainu Lamashal. I'll give you an example, a parable. For example, Sheachshov v'machshavto, sheyizkeh lilmod v'ligmor kol ha'arba poiskim kulam im kol ha'peirushim ha'gedoylim. Let's say a person decides, I'm going to learn the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch with all of its commentaries. I'm going to take those big, fat books off the shelf, the Shulchan Aruch, Or HaChaim, Yerideya, Choshen Mishpat, Evan Ezer. I'm going to learn all four sections of the Shulchan Aruch. And I'm going to learn with the Magen Avram. And I'm going to learn with the Taz. And I'm going to learn with Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Bir HaGra. And I'm going to learn with everyone who's on the page. I'm going to learn with the Shach. I'm going to learn with the Taz. I'm going to learn all the Mefarshim. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's a big project. But imagine, Yachshov yitzayer bedaito be'eza ofen yilmod osam, uvekam zman. Make a plan for yourself. When and how? How long is it going to take me? Do I have a plan? Have I thought it through, down to the details? Not this general, theoretical, like the Piazetzner Rebbe writes in his Sefer Tzav Viziras. If you ask someone, do you want to be a tzaddik? Who's going to say no? Chaver, if I ask you, do you want to be a tzaddik? Yeah, I'll be a tzaddik. Why not? That's nice. Yeah, it sounds good. The Piazetzner Rebbe says, we're not talking about like a passive, you know, if I woke up tomorrow and I was a tzaddik, how would I feel about that? You know? Lahavdil, like Kafka, if you wake up one morning and you turn into a cockroach. You know, for those who know the story, the metamorphosis. Yeah? If I woke up tomorrow and I was a tzaddik, I wouldn't be upset. The Piazetzner Rebbe says, you'll never become a tzaddik like that. So if I asked you, would you like to know the whole Shulchan Aruch? Yeah, sure, why not? With all the Mefarshim? Okay, sure, if I could download it into my brain, why not? Rabbi Nachman says, you got to think it through. You have to have a plan down to the details. How am I going to do it? Is it possible? Do I have enough mental capacity? Do I have enough time in my day? Do I have a schedule? Do I have an idea of how I could do it? For some people, Daf Yomi, 7.5 years. They've got their schedule, they stick to it, and they do it. Some people, they do it in slower. Some people, they do it faster. What's my plan? How long is it going to take? What do I want to learn? How long is it going to take me to learn it? If I can't answer what my goal is, then I'm not even alive. I'm not even alive. What's my goal? What do I want to accomplish? Why'd you come to YU? Why are you spending money to come to YU? Go to Rutgers. Go to Maryland. Go to Penn. Go to Harvard. I don't care. Why'd you come to YU? Because I want to learn. Well, what are you doing about it? What's your goal? What do you want to learn? You want to learn Psachim? You're not interested in Psachim? You're not interested in the style of learning that we do? So go to a different shir. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Kigon lemashal sheyizke lilmod chamisha dapin b'yom echad. Rabbi Nachman says, I have a schedule. 5 pages of Shulchan Aruch a day. That's a lot. 5 pages of Shulchan Aruch a day. But Rabbi Nachman also understood there's value in learning quickly. Don't obsess over understanding everything the first time around. Get through it and then do it again. There's value to thinking and learning slow and understanding. There's value to just gobbling up Torah and hopefully doing it again and again and again and again and again, and each time understanding it a little bit better, having a greater fluency with the words and the concepts. Chamisha daf miyomechi, you want to learn 5 pages of Shulchan Aruch a day. Actually, Yizka Ligmura, Kulam Bishana Achas. 5 pages a day, Chevra, you could finish the entire Shulchan Aruch in 1 year. V'yachnes b'machshavto b'zeh heitev, heitev b'toikev gadol ma'od, and picture it, close your eyes and picture yourself, when am I going to do it? What point of the day am I going to do it? When's my time to learn my 5 pages of Shulchan Aruch a day? Right? Picture yourself after a few months, how good you're going to feel now that you've accomplished this for several months. Picture yourself having a siyum at the end of the year with your family and friends celebrating your learning accomplishment because you set your mind to something and you worked through it with the details and you achieved it. Not a fleeting idea. Yeah, that would be nice. No, it's never going to go like that. Attach yourself to it. Achuza, grab it, grasp it. Whatever it is, whether you're learning Shas, Imharif, Vaharash, Vaturim, again, you see he's very halacha lamais oriented, right? Learning the Gemara with the Rif in the back, the synopsis of the Gemara, halacha lamais, the Rush, halacha lamais, the Tur. Learn Tanakh, come up with a Seder, how are you going to finish Tanakh? How many prakam a day? How many prakam a month? What's my plan? V'yichsof v'yishtokek, and desire it, long for it. V'yachshov b'zeh harbe b'tokev gadol. Chevre, if you don't know why you're learning Torah, if you don't have aspirations in Torah, so make that the goal. Focus on, I want to know why I want to learn. I want to learn, right? That's my goal. My goal for this year is to learn that learning is important. It's not about acquiring any particular knowledge. It's about gaining an appreciation for learning. That's a goal in and of itself. But you got to lock in with that goal. You got to want that to be your goal. And only then will the person be zocha to achieve the goal. And this is hinted to in the words of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when the Gemara says, "Machshava moeles afilu ledivrei Torah." Thoughts help even for divrei Torah. Now, here's how Rabbi Nachman's learning it, which is different than the way the Gemara's pasha pshat seems to be. Rabbi Nachman's learning that machshava, your mind, is moeles, will help you when it comes to divrei Torah. Of course, your mind helps you with divrei Torah. What does that mean? No, it means the desire of the mind, the concentration of the concepts and the words of any given Torah idea. But dedicating your mind, dedication of the mind, will make it much more realistic. You think, oh, I'm not smart enough to learn Shas. Maybe you just don't care enough to learn Shas. How many people fall short in their learning accomplishments because they've made up their mind, they've convinced themselves, if they believe anything, if they believe that they can't do it. So what if you walk around filling in with what? I can do it. What if you fill your brain with that for a year straight, and you really try to meditate on it? Will it make a change in your life? Rabbi Nachman says, I guarantee it will. Machshava mo'eles afilu ledivrei Torah. Mo'eles mamish, it mamish helps you. Shemo'eles u'misayei lezeh afilu ledivrei Torah. It'll assist you, it'll help you to achieve your goals in Torah. Va'afal pi sherashi peirasham, even though Rashi explained that Gemara totally differently, afal pi chenu kach. Rabbi Nachman says, nonetheless, you could explain it this way. Now, how did Rashi learn machshava mo'eles afilu ledivrei Torah? Rashi says, machshava, in the context of that Gemara, means daigas halev amazonosav shel adam. When a person's mind is filled with concern and worry about making a living, it's mo'eles mahanya l'shakeach limudo. It causes him to forget his learning. Right? His thoughts will what? Will damage his Torah. But Rabbi Nachman's learning, no, your thoughts with the right intention will help your Torah. It's really one and the same, Rabbi Nachman says. And that's why he says, right? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim v'chayim. I'm not arguing on Rashi. Rashi says if your mind is elsewhere, it's going to damage your Torah. And I'm saying, from there we learn, Mida Tova Meruba, all the more so. If your mind is focused and attentive, then it will help you in Torah. You don't have to be the biggest genius. You have to just decide, I'm going to concentrate to the best of my ability. I desire to have success. And when you do that, you could actually change reality. I'm not talking only metaphysical reality. I'm talking about even physical reality, Rabbi Nachman says. It's not just in the spiritual sense. It's not just a practical, pedagogical technique for study, for teaching, for learning, for understanding. Rabbi Nachman is telling us it changes the world. In Chaim Moran, the biography of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman talks about hisbodidus. Again, hisbodidus means meditation. Going into a forest or just going into your room, closing the door and thinking. How much active thinking do we do in one day? How long can we concentrate on an idea? Have we ever davened the Shmona Esrei in our life where we stayed focused from beginning to end? The answer is probably no, and that's okay, but it's something to strive for. Can I take a bracha when I say shahako? Can I be totally focused on Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro? Or am I multitasking? We're always multitasking in our world today. Rabbi Nachman says, get away from multitasking. Get focused. Lock in. So Rabbi Nachman spoke about the importance of his bodhis. And then he said something really unbelievable. Imagine the following. V'amar. Halo yecholim lilchosh al kinei sreifa shekorin rove shalotia mora. Rabbi Nachman says, you could speak to a what? To a rifle? And you could whisper to it, you could lochesh, you could whisper to it, to the bullets, don't shoot. Imagine a person, you know, is arrested by the KGB. I'm reading the biography of Natan Sharansky, the holy religious fighter. So Natan Sharansky spent a lot of time in a KGB prison, right? And at the very beginning, he describes how they kept talking about rastrel, how they're going to line them up and they're going to do rastrel. Rastrel means what? The firing squad. So Rabbi Nachman says, if you understood the power of your speech, if you knew how to control your mind, you could whisper to the guns, you could whisper to the bullets, stay away from me, don't fire. You could convince the gun not to shoot. Now you'll say, what do you mean? How are you going to tell a gun not to shoot? Rabbi Nachman says, you could whisper to the rifle not to shoot. Ki adibor yeshlo koach gadol. Your mind has awesome power. This is exactly what we're learning in Psachim Chevra, that you can do bittul chametz in your mind. Or I can do bittul chametz with my words. What does that mean? Because I said my chametz is not mine. Now the cabinet full of chametz is not mine. It underwent a metamorphosis. A monetary change of domain. Because I mumbled something under my breath in Aramaic at my chametz. And now it's ownerless? And the answer is yes. And Rabbi Nachman says, if only we knew how powerful our speech was. If only we knew how powerful our minds were. Rabbi Nachman says, you could whisper to a rifle not to shoot, and it would work. Rabbi Nachman spoke about this all the time. Understand the power of your thoughts. Understand the power of your words. Realize what you're thinking, and what you're doing, and what you're talking about. It's changing the world in a very, very real way. And you have to know that. Chazal themselves in Pirkei Avos tell us such an idea. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Ha'osa mitzvah achas, kona lo praklit echad. If a person does a mitzvah, he acquires for himself a praklit. What's a praklit? Bartanura explains in source number 5, malach melitz tov. You acquire for yourself a malach. It's not that Hashem gives you one of his malachim in shamayim when you do a mitzvah. No. Doing the mitzvah has creative powers. You create a malach. When you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. When you do an avera, ha'over avera achas, kona lo kategor echad, says the Mishnah. You acquire a prosecutor. Where do you mean you acquire? Where did you acquire it from? You know where you acquired it from? You created it. You made the malach. If you're thinking Torah right now, there are malachim flying out of your brain. If your mind is elsewhere now, then God forbid, maybe you're creating destructive forces in the world. It's very overwhelming. It's a scary idea, but it's true. The actions that we do, the words that we speak, the thoughts that we have, they matter in the world. The Gemara says in Maseches Makos that the path that a person wants to go on in this world is the path that they're going to be led upon. However, what does that mean? B'derach she'adam rotza leilech molichin oso. The path that a person wants to go upon, molichin oso. They will lead him. Who's the they? Most people read this Gemara quickly and they say, B'derach she'adam rotza leilech makos daf yodam ebeiz. The path that a person wants to go on, molichin oso. Hashem leads him on that path. Hashem will send him down that path. That's not what the Gemara says. B'derech she'adam rotza leilech, the path that a person wants to pursue, molichin, they will lead him. Who's the they? Says the Marsha on the back of the Gemara, Maseches Makos Daf Yod, the molichin oso is the malachim that you create. The molichin oso, as I've told you, he writes in many places, shekol machshava, dibor umaisa, every thought, speech, word, or action of a person, hinehu bore lo malach. Again, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos only told us that if you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. You do an aveira, you create a malach. Says the Marsha, no. Any move you make, any thought you think, every word you say, every action you do, creates a malach. Lefi inyano im litov im lera. And depending on what the action is, it'll create a good malach or a bad malach. Right now, as I share words of Torah with you, and since you're listening, listening is like speaking. So we're both right now creating Torah through speech. We're creating malachim through speech. There are angels flying out of my mouth right now. And they're flying out of your mouth. They're flying out of your ears. They're flying out of your mind. Right? It's unbelievable how much spiritual energy surrounds us and is within us. So for every thought, for every word, every action that a person does, he creates malachim, says the Maharsha. Aval kefi ritzono v'daito shel adam molichen oso, osan malachim. Who leads a person on the path that he wants to walk upon? So you read this Gemara and you say, Hashem leads you. No. You lead yourself. You're led by an entourage. Who's the entourage? The entourage of angels that you created. With your ratzon, with your desire, with your machshava. It's exactly what Rabbi Nachman is talking about. Your desire, your goals, your motivations, your thoughts are going to lead you down a path. It's not just, again, about establishing good patterns or bad patterns in Avodas Hashem. It's about understanding the spiritual energy of thoughts. It's about understanding the spiritual energy of speech. The Lubavitcher Rebbe put together a little calendar called Hayom Yom. Have you heard of it? Who's heard of Hayom Yom? Little entries, sometimes a little halacha or a little Hasidic practice or a little story, a little vart. The Hayom Yom that was very recently for Chavtes Tishrei, the Lubavitcher Rebbe tells a frightening story. And for those who have ever had the schus of being in the Baal Shem Tov Shul, right, so you can picture it, you can actually picture it in a little bit of a more real way. You can picture yourself in the shul. Listen to what happened. Lubavitcher Rebbe tells the story in the Hayom Yom. Le'echad me'abalabatim shel ir Mezhbush. There was a fellow from the city of Mezhbush. Hayariv im balabayis achir. And he got into a fight with another local. Two yidin, two balabatim in Mezhbush, got into some type of dispute. Upam achas, and one time, as they were arguing with each other, b'shehosam etzol ha'Baal Shem Tov, b'sa Knesset, they were in the Baal Shem Tov shul, and they started to, you know, get into a little bit of a scuffle. Hutzak shehayakore es yirivo kedag. One of them said to the other one, I want to gut you like a fish. I want to rip you to pieces. I'm so aggravated by you. You frustrate me so much. I want to rip out. I want to cut you open. I want to rip you to pieces. I'm going to gut you like a fish. The Baal Shem Tov heard someone say such an expression at another Jew. HaBaal Shem Tov tziva letalmidav. Baal Shem Tov said, everyone gather around. Baal Shem Tov got everyone together, got the whole shul together, and got into a circle. And they weren't singing Zmiros. They weren't singing Kumbaya. What were they doing in the circle? Baal Shem Tov said, everyone get into a circle right now. They got into a circle. She'inu echad l'sheni es yadam. They held hands in a circle. V'shiyas yatzvu liyado be'inayim atzumos. That they lined up hand in hand with their eyes closed. Baal Shem Tov said, everyone get into a circle, hold hands and close your eyes. HaBaal Shem Tov hiniach yodov hakadoshos al kisvei shnei ha-talmidim sha'amdu liyado. Baal Shem Tov put his hand on the shoulders of the two talmidim next to him. I don't know if those two talmidim were these two individuals who were in the fight. Or if it was two, I'm not sure. Maybe it sounds like that. All of a sudden, lepesa, suddenly, heichelu ha-talmidim litzok b'pachad, everyone in the shul started screaming. What had happened? Heimro keitzad balabayis korehu kedagas yirivo. They saw the Baal Shem Tov had them close their eyes, and they saw in an image, they saw one of the individuals literally cutting open the other one, gutting him like a fish. And everyone started screaming. Zemara bebiur, shemikol koach yesh totza upoel davar. The Baal Shem Tov said, look, I want you to understand, your words matter. Your thoughts matter. You can't just say to another Jew, I want to gut you like a fish. Maybe it doesn't have any effect in terms of your physical eyes. But in the higher realms, you're cutting this guy to pieces. And the Baal Shem Tov said, close your eyes, I'll show you what's happening. Right? You have to understand, your actions matter, your speech matters. Sometimes it affects the real world. Rabbi Nachman says, it affects the stock market. Your thoughts about the stock market affect the stock market. It causes inflation. Rabbi Nachman started with a very real world example. And again, it's not just that the panic causes people to buy or sell their stocks. Your thoughts, your attitude, your soulfulness in approaching life impacts life. It affects the physical world. It affects the spiritual world. She'efshar letov sorak b'chushim na'alim va'adinim yoser. Again, it takes spiritual senses to recognize it. But the Baal Shem Tov said, I need to show those Talmidim. The Baal Shem Tov was prepared to be Megala to the Talmidim. Look what happened. You can't talk like that to another Jew. It cuts another person up. You say you're going to cut a person up, it cuts them up. It rips them open. However, there's a big machlokas Rishonim in general about some of the more mystical scenes of the Torah. Did they really happen? So if I were to ask you, did Bilam really have a talking donkey? What do you think? Yes or no? Did Yaakov really have a fight with a malach? Was there physically a fist fight? Did Yaakov really fight against Sarah Shal Esav? When Avram had three angels come to visit his tent, was that real? Or did that happen in his head? So it's actually a big machlokas Rishonim. Which Rishon, who's very rational in his thinking, probably says it didn't physically happen? The Rambam, of course, the Rambam, the great rationalist philosopher. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, says that all of these things that I just mentioned, Avram being visited by angels, Yaakov fighting against the Malach, talking donkeys, it all happens in a Nevuah. It all happens in some type of image. It didn't happen in the real world. That's what the Rambam writes. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban disagrees in a strong way, in many places. One example the Ramban has is in Parshas Vayera, when Avram is visited by his guests. But the Ramban has it in several places throughout his commentary on Torah. Again, Chaver, get the machlokas down clear. The Rambam holds that it happened in a Nevuah. The Ramban says, no, it happened. Yaakov got into a fist fight with a Malach. They were actually fighting. And the Ramban asks a simple question on the Rambam. The Ramban says, if Yaakov didn't really fight against the Malach, Nu, what's his question going to be? What happened after the fight?
He hurt himself.
He hurt himself. He's limping. The Torah says that Yaakov limps away from the fight. So what do you mean? How is he limping if he didn't actually have a fight? Says the Ramban in source number 8, V'chein amar b'imrin v'ya'avik ish imo, right? He fought with the Malach. Shakol mara nevuah. The Rambam says it all happened in a nevuah. It all happened in a vision. What are you talking about? Says the Ramban, the Halakha Ramban, V'lo yadati, lama hayetzolei al yarecho b'hakitz. So why, when he woke up from his nevuah, was he limping? It doesn't make any sense. Chaver, what's the answer? Yaakov Wieder, what's the answer? What do you think the Abar Benel is going to say in defense of the Rambam?
I don't know if this is the exact answer.
Let's hear.
I've been a little distracted, but there's a medical concept of phantom limb.
Yes, there is.
Which is like when somebody loses like their leg, they could still feel pain there. So it is medically possible that Yaakov could have felt pain from a dream, probably.
That's right. Did you ever touch your thigh on a Shabbos afternoon and you felt your cell phone was buzzing and then you realize it's Shabbos, I don't have my cell phone in my pocket, right? Or like Yaakov said, God forbid a person loses a limb and they still experience pain on that part of their body, which doesn't even exist, right? Or the fact that a person could have a seminal emission in a dream, right? There are things that happen in a dreamlike state.
Why can't we just say the same thing that we're, like, why can't we stay on the same theme?
That what?
Like, why can't we say that just like it's a fight that happens in a Nevuah, it's also not a physical type of pain, it's more of a...
Okay, like, could be.
Like, just like the guy gutted the guy...
Yeah, in the high, right.
In a metaphysical way, Yaakov is a metaphysical...
Yeah, it could be, but the Pashup Shad is that Yaakov walked away limping. I mean, that's Pashup Shad in Chumash, that's what the Pasuk says, Yaakov was limping. He spiritually was injured. Okay, it could be, but the Abar Benel says, again... A person could become a Balkari in their dream. A person could have a dream that they're falling, right? That they're falling off a building, right? And they wake up and they feel an ache in their body. Therefore, says the Abar Benel, Lachain, lo yiruchak, shebios Yaakov bechalom nevuaso. If you have an intense dream, and nevuah certainly is the channeling, the concentration of one's thoughts in an intense way, of course it could actually express itself in the real world. It's a great defense of the Rambam. I don't know if the Rambam would like it. Right? Maybe the Rambam would like it. But it's certainly true to our experience. If I attach my mind to something, I can actually feel it. Right? I can imagine myself feeling a pain that's not even there. So therefore, again, it reinforces this idea. The power of thoughts to have real effect in the world. Chaver, we just learned this past Shabbos that as human beings we're created B'Tselem Elokim. What does it mean to be created B'Tselem Elokim? And the truth is, I'll ask you more simply. Every time you say a bracha, every time you say the name Elokim, or Elokeinu, what are you supposed to think? So it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Let's learn a little halacha. Halacha says in Shulchan Aruch that when you say Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we pronounce, of course, Ado, right? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. When you think about that name, says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Hei, Yechavein Beferush Perish Kriyaso Ba'adnus. When you say Adonai, you're supposed to think Hashem is the Adon Hakol, the master of all. When I think about the way that it's written, Ksivaso, it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, it reminds me of what? Haya Hoveviya. So again, when you say a bracha, ideally you're supposed to say Baruch, Ata, Ado, and as you say that word, you think, Hashem, you're the Adon HaKol, the master of all. Haya Hoveviya, past, present, and future. That's the kavana for saying Yud Kei Vav Kei. Uvez Kiro Elokim. And when you say the name Elokim, what are you supposed to think? Yechavein, you should have kavana. Listen, shehu takif baal hayecholes ubaal hakochos kulam. Hashem is takif. Rabbi Nachman used that word before in the Sichas Aran. Hashem is strong. Hashem is powerful. Baal hayecholes, all is at his disposal. He's baal. He's a master of yecholes. Yachol. He's able to do anything. Ubaal hakochos kulam. And he's what? He's the master of all power. He's unbelievable in his strength, his creative abilities. So, Chevra, if I ask you now, so what does it mean that you're created B'Tselem Elokim? Just like your tzel, your shadow, is a reflection of you. If you're created B'Tselem Elokim, that means you have awesome creative powers. Hashem made the first mitzvah of the Torah, Pur Vu. You could create another human being. You realize how insane that is? The fact that humans can procreate, that you can make a baby, that there's a ninth grade girl walking around my house, right, that was conceived 15 years ago by my wife and myself with the help of Hashem. You realize how nuts that is? Do you know what awesome creative powers you have? That's true in the physical realm, says Rabbi Nachman. It's true in the mental realm, and it's true in the realm of speech as well. You are created B'Tselem Elokim. You are a reflection of that awesome Elokim, that awesome power, that creative power that Hashem has. So understand how to channel your thoughts. Understand how to control your speech. Understand the actions that you do in this world really, really, really matter. Last but not least, I want to end with a little selection from an essay from Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld. Okay, if anyone's looking for a good book to read, I recommend this book. In Search of Greatness, The Shmuzin of Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld. Rabbi Freifeld was the greatest, Mamas the best. He has an essay in here called Fuse Yourself with Wisdom. Fuse Yourself with Wisdom. And here's what he writes. Let's read a little bit together. It is a natural thing to ask such a question, to feel the overwhelming presence of the Almighty. But there's a fundamental difference between what everyone feels when faced with the palace ablaze with light of the natural world and what Avraham felt under the same circumstances. Chevra, this Shabbos, we read Parshas Noach. By the end of Noach, we're already getting introduced to Avraham Avinu, the first Yid. He knew a thing or two about being a serious Jew. Avraham Avinu is going to teach us what it means to what? To take your thoughts seriously. Avraham had an idea. The palace ablaze with light. What's the palace ablaze with light? What's he talking about? The palace ablaze with Avraham Avinu saw a bira dolekes. He saw either a palace on fire, or he saw a light in the window, and he said, there must be a God. What did he do next? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he saw a light, when he saw a burning bush? Did he walk away? Moshe stopped in his tracks. He turned to see, what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if he's something, you need to attach yourself to it. Think about it. What is the message here? Avraham Avinu had a thought. Maybe there's a God. But you know what he did? He held on to it. Like Rabbi Nachman said, he attached himself to it. Look at these words. They're great. This question took hold of Avraham and obsessed him. He had to figure it out. Everyone else, nah, don't waste your time. Idols, idols, idols. Avraham said, no, I'm telling you, there's something more. It completely seized him. Others can have this feeling, especially when they're standing in front of one of the wonders of the world, like the Grand Canyon. So they think to themselves, hey, someone must have created this thing. Then they finish their can of Coke and throw the empty can into the canyon. Get into their camper and drive away. It's so true. I love that. Rav Freifeld says you could be standing there, right, overlooking the Grand Canyon, sipping a bottle of Coca-Cola and saying, wow, this is unbelievable. Wow, there must be a creator to the world. And then you look over your shoulder and no one's around and you throw your garbage into the Grand Canyon. You throw your soda bottle into the Grand Canyon. and you get back into your camper and you drive on to the next attraction in life. You could be like Avraham who pays attention, like Moshe Rabbeinu who sees a burning bush and gets locked into it and becomes the chosen leader, redeemer of Klal Yisrael. Or you could be a person who says, oh, that's interesting, and you move on to the next topic. But for Avram, the effect of the question was electrifying. It was all-consuming. There's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos that says, if the Rebbe is teaching one sugya, you shouldn't ask about a different sugya. The way that we understand that is that what? That when a person is studying something, they're supposed to be so filled with that that they can't think about anything else. There's a beautiful mimer from who? From Rav Huttner. From Rav Yitzhak Huttner, who was the Rebbe of Rav Freifeld. I'm just remembering it now. That at Har Sinai, when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it says that the world filled with a reyach of besamim. And then Hashem said, Lo Yelecha, and the world got filled up again. So the question is, well, if the world was already filled with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, how is the world then afterwards filled with the next of the Ten Commandments? But the answer is, and Rav Huttner explains this idea, whatever it is that you're studying, that should fill you. When you're learning this piece of Torah from Rav Freifeld, that fills your entire mind. When you're learning a Rashi Maseches Pesachim, that fills your entire mind. You can't also be thinking about the 15 other phone calls you have to make this afternoon, or the test that you have coming up in whatever class. You're not going to be able to attach yourself to the Rashi. For Avram Avinu, the question was electrifying. It was all-consuming. It took over his life, and he couldn't get his mind off of it. Rav Freifeld quotes, I took it out, you don't have it on the page in front of you. Rav Freifeld quotes an interesting study. He says, scientists did an experiment. They put a person under hypnosis, and they told the person under hypnosis that they're touching his hand with the tip of a lit cigarette, right? Even though they weren't actually doing that, they're just taking their finger and saying, "I'm touching you with the tip of a lit cigarette." And you know what they found? They found that actually, sometimes if the person was really in a hypnotic state, there would actually be a wound that would appear. There would be a little mark on their skin. How could that be? There was no lit cigarette. They weren't burned. How is that possible? All of a sudden, the skin becomes red and it becomes puffy? How is that possible? Rav Freifeld says, such is the power of suggestion. Such is the power of the human mind. And again, that's a simple example of it. So concludes Rav Freifeld. Let's finish up. Avram's greatness was his relationship to Chachma, which was so intense, so powerful, so honest, that he became fused with it. He fused himself with wisdom. When he perceived the great knowledge of the existence of a master of the universe, he didn't just say, well, I know this now. It's a nice thing, a nice thought. Quite inspiring, actually. Someday, maybe I'll think about it more. You could decide, you know what? Yeah, okay. Rashi, Ran, Tosfos, Bittul Chametz, Bidikas Chametz. You could even go to Shul on Shabbos, for those who go to Shul on Shabbos. And you could, you know, and someone says, oh, what are you learning in Shir? You could probably, you know, if the person's a Talmid Chacham, they know the Sugya, and you want to fake it, you could probably fake it, you know. Oh, Rashi, Ran, Tosfos, you know, Lo Bedila Minei, Shema Yochal, as you come to eat it, Lo Yirba, Yirah, you could drop all the keywords, and you might say, you know, that's enough for me. And maybe later in life I'll come back and learn it, you know, more Be'ian, as if you're going to have more time as life goes on than you have right now in yeshiva, right? But you could say, yeah, I'll come back to it. Avram could have said, yeah, God, this is an interesting thing. I want to explore it more. I'll come back to it. Someday I may even do something about it. That kind, says Rav Freifeld, that kind of lackadaisical attitude has no place in Avram's scheme of things. That's not who Avram was. Wisdom gives strength. Avram's knowledge consumed him, and he achieved understanding. The sages did not emphasize Avram's religiosity. They didn't emphasize that he did this deed or that deed, or that he was a tzaddik. What was it about Avram that Chazal noticed and praised him for? He locked into an idea. Lastly, it was his relationship to Chachma. And again, that's what, in a slightly different way, but that I think is what Rabbi Nachman is telling us today. Lock your mind in. Understand it has awesome, awesome power to change the world around you, and obviously to change yourself, and to change your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Chevra, I bless us. I bless us that we should believe in our thoughts. We should believe in our speech. We should believe in our actions. We should learn how to concentrate in a world where we're so scatterbrained, where it's so easy to be all over the place, to be multitasking all the time. Lock in. Get focused. Set goals. Have strong concentration and intense desire. And then, Amir Tz Hashem, you'll achieve awesome things in this world. That's my bracha to you.